Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
This is a very hot topic. It's now increasingly known that discontinuation of denosumab without a sequential agent can lead to rebound bone loss and rarely and unfortunately rebound fractures of the spine.
Today, Drs. Lewicki and Camacho join the podcast to discuss sequential therapy and switching strategies in osteoporosis, insights for improved outcomes in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed through those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporters.
Hello, I'm Mike Lewicki, Director of New Mexico Clinical Research and Osteoporosis Center in Albuquerque.
And I'm Pauline Camacho, Director of the Loyola University Osteoporosis and Metabolic Bone Disease Center in Chicago.
Thanks for joining me today, Pauline.
It's my pleasure to be here.
We're diving into an important and evolving topic in osteoporosis care, sequential therapy, and the most effective ways to switch treatments to optimize outcomes. With a growing range of therapeutic options, including anabolic agents and antiresorptives, understanding how to sequence and transition therapies is key to maximizing bone mineral density gains and reducing fracture risk. To get us started, Pauline, what is the clinical rationale for sequential therapy in osteoporosis, and why is the order of treatment so critical?
Well, sequential therapy, no doubt, is very important in osteoporosis care, as the choice of agents can influence the outcome and success of therapy. But let me first define what sequential therapy is. It is when we switch from one modality of treatment or a drug class to another. An example would be when we switch from anabolic, followed by antiresorptive, or sometimes we do antiresorptive therapy, followed by anabolic therapy. Sometimes we even do anabolic therapy, followed by another anabolic agent, which is then followed by an antiresorptive agent. Or even sometimes we do oral agents followed by injectable antiresorptive therapy.
So anabolic therapy is generally limited in time. They don't keep working forever. What do we do after anabolic therapy?
So for patients who are very high risk for fractures, example, those with multiple vertebral fractures or very low BMD, anabolic therapy is the ideal first agent. We know that. We do that all the time in the clinic. We are able to achieve a quicker increase in BMD and a reduction in fracture risk and even acceleration of bone healing. This therapy would then have to be followed by an antiresorptive agent, usually an injectable antiresorptive agent like denosumab or zoledronic acid. It was very well shown in clinical trials, such as the FRAME trial, the data switch trial, that when patients are switched from anabolic agents to antiresorptive agents, they have further gains in BMD. As he said, some of the drugs are used for a limited time. Romosozumab is approved for a one-year duration. Therefore, it's very important that we use sequential therapy. Otherwise, we're going to lose ground and the gains in BMD will be lost. This can also happen to patients who are on daily shots with teriparatide and abaloparatide. And at some point, they may wish to switch to a more convenient option. And switching to denosumab or zoledronic acid can be the next step.
Thanks. I agree. Now, what about a really hot topic? What about discontinuation of denosumab?
I agree with you. This is a very hot topic. It's now increasingly known that discontinuation of denosumab without a sequential agent can lead to rebound bone loss and rarely and unfortunately rebound fractures of the spine. Thus, in situations when we feel that denosumab therapy is completed, the patient does need to be switch to another agent. And this is a very hot topic, so I would like to encourage your audience to stay tuned.
Now, a common situation in clinical practice is when a patient's been on an antiresorptive agent we realize that fracture risk is higher than what we previously thought, and we want to go to an anabolic agent. How does that work?
So we know that oral bisphosphonates are widely used all around the world because they're cost-effective, generally a lower cost to patients. But sometimes, again, rarely, we encounter rare adverse events. Osteonecrosis of the jaw, atypical fractures of the femur. In these situations, anabolic agents are very helpful in reversing oversuppression of bone, and they are used to treat these adverse events. There are also situations when patients who are on anti-resorptive therapies fail, quote-unquote, this mode of therapy, say they continue to fracture. And this is a situation that switching to anabolic agents or romosozumab may be more efficacious.
Well, thanks, Pauline, for sharing your expertise. It's a great discussion.
It's been my pleasure.
And thank you all for joining us as we explored strategies for sequential therapy and treatment transitions in osteoporosis care.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guest, Drs. Lewicki and Camacho. Join me next time for an episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.